Welcome to C3 San Diego. Need something fresh, real, and powerful in your life? Connect with us on social media, get live stream service notifications, podcasts, and up-to-date information on upcoming events. We are so glad you're joining us for a powerful, life-transforming message from one of our C3 San Diego pastors. We would love to hear about how God is impacting your life through this ministry. Please share your experience with us at info@c3sandiego.com. If you'd like to be a part of what C3 Church is doing in the city of San Diego and beyond, you can contribute financially by going to c3give.com and choosing the giving option that works best for you. We hope you enjoy this message.
I'm excited to preach this morning. We're going to get into it. You can get in advance to the book of Numbers, chapter 13. And if you didn't know, yes, there's good stuff in the book of Numbers. This message will prove it to you. There's gold hidden in these Numbers and Leviticus books of the Bible. Sometimes you just got to push through it a little bit. Because there's certain passages that get a little bit weird, but because it's some of the Old Testament sacrifice situations. But Numbers chapter 13 is a great story that I want to unpack. But I love this series of Accelerate, and it's how to go to the next level. How many want to see your life go to the next level? How many want to see, if you're married, your marriage go to the next level? Want to see your relationships go to the next level? Your finance, whatever it is, you know, the call of God on your life, whatever it is, if you want to go to the next level, that's what this is all about. How do we do that? How do we see our lives increase? How do we see this acceleration begin to happen in our lives? Because wherever you're at, in every area of your life, God has more in mind for you. He's got more in store for you. He's got more planned for you, right? He's got another level. He's got good plans. The Bible says to prosper us, not to harm us, to give us a hope and a future. Sometimes we get ourselves limited and stuck, but God has another level for you in mind. If even in this series you've had the temptation to go, you know what, next level, I don't need to be, you know, prideful or trying to push and strive for another level. I'll just be satisfied. I'll just be content with my current level. I just want to encourage you, break out of that kind of thinking and get ready to step into what God has for you. Amen? All right, God has a new level for us. Let's get into Numbers. I'm going to actually read a verse in Numbers chapter 14 first, and then we'll get back into chapter 13. But Numbers 14, verse 24 says this. It says, because my servant Caleb has a different spirit and follows me wholeheartedly, I will bring him into the land, or this next level, into the land he went to, and his descendants will inherit it. So Caleb, it says, is inheriting the land because he had a different spirit. Because there was something different about him, and we'll talk about him and his kind of cohort, Joshua. Joshua and Caleb had a different spirit, and because of that difference, they were able to access the promised land that God has for them. There's some that didn't get entrance, but Joshua and Caleb and his descendants inherited the land that God had because of this difference. And we're going to talk about that. There's a difference in this man, Caleb. There's a difference in Joshua that unlocked the access to the next level. Let's pray, and then I want to unpack chapter 13. Father, I thank you for your presence that's already here this morning, and we just invite you to reveal your word to us. Holy Spirit, we ask that we would be different. God, we ask that you give us a different spirit in this place. God, that you would renew us, transform us, unlock something in our lives here this morning. Holy Spirit, I already know that you're speaking to us. God, already in worship, you began to minister life and healing here this morning. God, we ask that you continue that in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. So Numbers chapter 13, I'm going to kind of read a few selections around that chapter. The first couple of verses, it says, the Lord said to Moses, send some men to explore the land of Canaan, which I'm giving to the Israelites. From each ancestral tribe, send one of its leaders. So at the Lord's command, Moses sent out from the desert of Paran all of them
that were the leaders of the Israelites. So it's good to know that God had a command. He said, I'm going to give them this land. I want you to go and check it out. Moses, I want you to go spy out the land. I want you to go check out this promised land that I'm going to give you. I want you to send some leaders from every tribe to go check it out. Then kind of the rest of the chapter, verses 17 through about 25, there's this process of them going and checking out in advance the promised land. So these 12 tribal leaders, the 12 tribes of Israel, one leader from each one goes out and begins to check out the land. They're grabbing, you know, samples of the fruit and vegetation. They're getting kind of a feel for what's up. They're checking out how big's the enemy over there in this land. They're kind of spying out the land to get a sample reading of what's going on. And then they come back and there's a report of what goes on. And that starts in verse 26 of Numbers chapter 13. It says, they came back to Moses and Aaron and the whole Israelite community at Kadesh in the desert of Paran. There they reported to them and to the whole assembly and showed them the fruit of the land. They gave Moses this account. We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here is its fruit. But the people who live there are powerful. The cities are fortified and very large. We even saw descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites live in the Negev. The Hittites, Jebusites, Amorites, they live in the hill country. And the Canaanites live near the sea and along the Jordan. And in verse 30, it says, then Caleb. So Caleb is about to interject, because what's happening here is the 12 leaders went out, these 12 spies go into the land. And as they're coming back to give the report, it's like the 12 of them are there. One of them, two of them are Joshua and Caleb that we're familiar with, are in this group. And this report begins to be given to Moses and to the rest of the people. And I can almost imagine Caleb in this moment is listening to the report. And as the report is given, all of a sudden it is spiraling downward quickly, and Caleb has to step up and interject in the situation. The 10 spies, they start off with going, okay, here's some fruit, there's milk and honey, it's good, it's kind of like God promised, but then they start spewing out this conversation about how big the enemy is and how difficult the situation is, and Caleb steps up and begins to intercept on the scene. In verse 30, it says, and Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. We should go up. Verse 31 says, but the men who had gone up with him said, we can't attack those people. They're stronger than we are. And they spread among the Israelites, a bad report about the land they had explored. They said, the land we explored devours those living in it. All the people who we saw there are great size. We saw the Nephilim there. We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we looked the same to them. We looked the same to them. Let me just read a couple more verses, and then we'll work through it. Numbers 14, 6 through 9, back to kind of where we had started. It says, Joshua son of Nun and Caleb son of Jephunneh, honestly, I don't know why they named people like this back in the day, who were among those who had explored the land, tore their clothes and said to the entire Israelite assembly, the land we passed through and explored is exceedingly good. If the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into that land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and he will give it to us. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will swallow them up. Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. One of the things you'll notice in these verses, there's a different spirit, as the Bible referred to Caleb and Joshua about. There's a difference in them, and a lot of the difference is in the language. You'll notice there's an adjustment in language. There's a difference. The title of this message this morning is Next Level Language. One of the things you got to notice is there's a language shift. There's a language adjustment difference that's going on between Joshua and Caleb and the other tent. Anyone ever driven a vehicle that was out of alignment? Anyone ever driven? Right. One of the things you'll notice usually when a vehicle's out of alignment, when you're driving slow, you don't notice it, right? It isn't until you begin to attempt to accelerate and hit a speed threshold that all of a sudden, you know, start shaking. You know what I mean? You know, it's just like, you know, try to pretend like it's not happening. You know what I mean? It's just like, no, it's cool. It's high performance like this. That's how it is. It's a rumble. But when your car reaches and attempts to accelerate, that's when you begin to notice the shaking. That's when you begin to notice that, man, something's not right. Something's out of alignment. And the only way to stop the shaking is either to slow the vehicle down or to figure out how to get it into alignment, to go get it serviced, to get an alignment adjustment so that it can drive smoothly again. Anytime God is wanting to accelerate your life, God is wanting to begin to move in your life, sometimes as you begin to accelerate, you begin to notice some shaking going on, right? There'll be some things that seem a bit uncomfortable. There'll be a reality that, listen, something has to adjust if I'm going to keep accelerating. Something has to shift if I'm going to keep moving forward in this direction that God has for me. And most of the time, it's a language shift in this situation. If we're going to accelerate beyond our current situation that we're in, we're going to have some next level language. We're going to have to adjust some things that we've been currently talking. If you think through all these verses we just read, there was a massive difference between the 10 spies that, again, we don't remember their names, and then the 2 spies who had a different language, who had a different verbiage coming out of them, a different dialogue that they were speaking, that this different spirit that set them apart from everybody else. And if we're going to take the promised land, if you're going to take that next level, there's going to have to be a different language that comes out of you than is currently coming out of you now. You see, each level tends to have its own language. Each level has a language. So if I'm going to go to a new level, then I'm going to have some new language. I'm going to have some new verbiage. I'm going to have some new kind of dialogue. See, words are like keys that give us access to new seasons, new places. You ever have a, you know, as a kid, like a club or a tree fort or something like that where you made someone have a password before they could enter? You know what I mean? It's like, what's the password? You know what I mean? You had to have maybe a secret handshake, maybe a word, maybe a phrase, whatever it was. But until you gave them the right phrase, the right password, you weren't going to get access into that fort and into that club. And the reality is, the new level that God has for you is going to require some new words, some access, some upgraded language. You can't, the words you've been using right now have brought you to this level that you're in, but they're not going to take you to the next level. There's going to be some new language. There's going to be some new words. You know, our words are powerful. Maybe you've heard that before, but I just want to remind us this morning that we have a powerful voice that God has given us. You know, right from the very beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He spoke, and what we see became into existence. See, the words from his mouth breathe life into us, right? And then the Bible says he created us in his image, and you and me have the privilege of being we carry on that same mantle of creating life and creating the world that we live in and using our words to declare life and create the future that God has for us. Everything that we say is creating or destroying every day of our life. Sometimes people wonder, well, I don't know. I mean, God's God. He's the creator. He's breathing life. I don't know about me. But you know what? My words, the Bible says, have life or death in them, right? They're life or death. So everything that I'm saying is either going to build or it's going to tear down, right? I can breathe life into my world. I can breathe life into my situation, or I can end up tearing it down, all depending on my language. All depending on my language. Sometimes we can get frustrated because it's like, why can't I access this sort of next level I feel like God has for me? But, you know, it's a language barrier. It's a language issue. It's a wrong vocabulary kind of issue. It's that I'm not using my voice the way that God designed it to be. Our lives, the Bible says, are guided like a ship, like a mega ship is directed by a small rudder, right? The Bible says that our life is is directed by our tongue. Even though it's small, it has such a massive impact on our life, right? And so a lot of times, if we're going to go where we want to go, we go where God has for us, we've got to begin to get our language right. We got to begin to speak the way that God wants us to speak. We can't underestimate the power of our words. We can't underestimate the power of new levels needing new language. You know, I honestly feel like when I kind of just evaluate my life, most times where I feel like I've seen an acceleration of some kind have not necessarily been because of some like kind of over the top situation where I was given something, you know, or it was some financial acceleration because I won the lottery, or, you know, some abnormal breakthrough. Usually it's been because of a simple shift in language. It's been changing the way I think, which affects the way I talk. You know, it's been shifting the verbiage and my dialogue and my speech and how I talk about things. Every area of my life is impacted by my language. And each time that I shift it, then I can go into another gear. You know, I remember just a simple thing years back when I was an intern at Bible College up in the Seattle area. And at that time, I was feeling overwhelmed, yet I was single and didn't have kids. So I'd like to, you know, slap my version of me back then a little bit. But I was complaining to my upline, my youth pastor and overseer in my internship, and I just was like, man, I just don't know. This is the language coming out of my mouth. I just don't know if I can handle anymore. That was the language of that level. And my pastor at the time said, oh, okay. So you're saying you're never going to do anything great with your life. That's what he said. So you're saying guys like Phil Pringle and Pastor Juergen or Brian Houston, or you know, he starts naming off all these pastors and church leaders that I would aspire towards, you know, who they are. He's saying, so you're just deciding right now you will never make that kind of impact. And I was like, oh, well, no, I didn't say that. I mean, so you're saying they have more time in a day than you? You know what I mean? Like, he just began to kind of like mess with me. I was like, no. I got it. You know what I mean? He got my face, got me fired up. I said, no, actually, you're right. I can do this, right? I shifted my dialogue. I shifted my vocabulary a little bit. I said, no, I got this. I'm not overwhelmed. This isn't too much for me. I can handle everything that this level has. I can do much more than I'm currently doing, right? So a shift. And I didn't get more education in that moment. I didn't get handed anything. No one took anything off of my plate. But all of a sudden, I accelerated, right? Because I changed the way I talked. I changed the words that were coming out of my mouth. You know, we think about our different areas of our life, our relationships, right? Our marriages, our parenting. What are the words we're using? What kind of language is coming out of our mouths? Man, you want your marriage to be better, but you keep ripping your spouse down, right? It's so easy. It's easy to do, right? Because, Katie, is this what you wanted me to say, right? Jaeger and I just were chatting earlier, and this wasn't in my notes. It's not on the screen, so it's just a couple extra notes. You know, honestly, though, right, it's like we want something to be healthier, we want something to be better, but we're destroying sometimes our marriages or even just our friendships with our words, right? And here's the thing that's so key is even when you're in a difficult situation in a relationship, you have to fight to keep using the right words and words of life rather than wanting to react when you're frustrated, right? Because then we keep this vortex of spiraling down happening in our lives. Whether it's a friendship, whether it's dating, whether it's in marriage, our tendency is to want to attack when we're hurt, frustrated, or mad, but that only destroys the health of that relationship rather than I have to continue to go, okay, I'm going to keep speaking life. I'm going to keep saying the right. I'm going to keep using verbiage that builds my relationship, that keeps giving me access to a new level in our relationship rather than tearing it down. Amen? You know, same thing with, you know, career, calling. If you said, I'm never getting ahead. Man, I just feel like I keep getting held back. I feel like people are out to get me. I feel like I'm keep getting looked over. What kind of verbiage you keep saying about your life, your career, your income? I'm never going to own my own house. You know what I mean? What kind of language are you using about your finances? About, you know, what a great faith-building message, Katie, around the giving today. But what are you saying in your own self when giving happens each week? Because if you want to go to another level in your finances, giving, tithes and offerings are a huge part of that process, right? But if I'm using low-level thinking around giving and I fail to trust God, I'm never going to access that next level that God has for me, right? God's got more for you. We just got to begin to use different language. We got to begin to change the language that we have. See, the children of Israel could not enter the promised land until they got some new language. See, in that situation, what sadly ends up happening is the majority kind of overrules the moment, even though two out of the 12 said, "We got this. Let's do this." The whole Israelite community got all freaked out because 10, because it's not just like 2 to 10. It's like 10 represented, you know, the 10 tribes out of just 2 tribes. So you had this mass majority in the people, the children of Israel, that were like, we're going to go with the majority here because those guys seem like they're crazy potentially, and we're going to run with this. But you know what ends up happening is because they choose to not trust God in the moment, they choose to allow fear to overtake them, God sends them in this 40-year wilderness journey until, and this is the whole thing, what I read at the beginning, that because Caleb had a different spirit, God brought him into the promised land. Caleb had to wait 40 years for this process because God basically had to eradicate the old verbiage out of the camp. He had to get the old way of thinking. He had to get the old verbiage out of his people because you can't rule with slave dialogue, right? And they still had this old thinking. They had this old verbiage that was coming out of them, and they would not be able to take the promised land. They wouldn't be able to do it with that old way of talking, that old way of thinking, that old approach, that old fear mechanism that was built into them. And so because of that, for 40 years, God basically had to process this old dialogue out. God, I hope in my life it doesn't take 40 years to process some old language out of me. In Jesus' name, I'm going to try to get this a little bit faster if I can. Accelerate. Let's go. Your next level is going to require some new language. So let's talk a little bit about that. I want to kind of highlight, we won't take much more time here, but I just want to highlight, you know, kind of thinking through how Caleb addressed the crowd. How Caleb addressed the crowd, right? So the first thing we see in Numbers 13:30, it says, "Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses," right? So if you're going to have next level language, first you got to silence the voice of limitation. You got to silence the doubters. You got to silence the haters, right? Everyone loves to talk about haters. Got to silence the haters. Haters hate, right? But you know what? Honestly, if you're going to go to the next level, you've got to learn to minimize the negative voices either that are in your own head or that are around you, right? Because I'm not going to have faith to take the territory. I'm not going to have faith to accelerate to that next level that God has for me if I'm constantly listening to negative voices around me. I'm constantly surrounded by people who are tearing down my dream, tearing down my faith, causing me to doubt, saying, "Man, we can't do this." Man, you hear the verbiage in that, man? We were like grasshoppers to them. I love that somebody noted, they're like, how did they know that? They're like, it wasn't like they did a survey with these giants in the land to determine what, you know, how they thought of them. That was a complex inside of them, right? They used the verbiage, "Man, these people will devour us. They saw themselves as easy prey. And oftentimes, if we're not careful, we got a passion and a dream and a desire to take ground and to step into what God has for us, but we're surrounded by people who keep pulling us down, keep talking bad about us, keep you know, kind of downplaying our faith, downplaying the dream that God has for us. You know what? Sometimes the reality is sometimes that's our own family members, right? So we can't always leave those situations. We just have to learn how to mute the conversation a little bit in those, right? We're going to learn how to turn down the volume in that. If it's people you can get away from, do it. You know what I mean? Do it, right? And learn how to turn that down. Here's another thing is that next level language is focuses forward. It's forward focused. Caleb says, he silenced the crowd, and he said, we should go up and we should take possession of the land. We can do it, right? It's forward focused. You know what? God has done some amazing things in my past, but if I'm going to go to the next level, I've got to look forward, not behind me, right? I got to look forward. Next level language is always about what's next, not about reminiscing or agonizing over the past, right? If my head is in the past, if my thoughts are just always behind me, either for security or because I feel hurt because of a past situation, I can never take new ground talking yesterday's conversation, right? I've got to go, okay, God, what's next? Where are you taking me, God? I know that you've got something ahead for me. Even the verbiage I started with, God's got more for you. God's got new for you, right? That's the next level kind of dialogue you got to have. If you have a tendency to think, man, maybe this has been my best days. Maybe my glory days were in high school football. You know what I mean? Like, you know, like Rico from Napoleon Dynamite, you know, or Uncle Rick or whatever. Was it? Rico, okay. So it's like, maybe those were the glory days, you know. And if I could do impersonations like our lead pastor, I would do it. But I can't, so I'll stick to the script, okay? We don't live in a past era. Move forward. That's a next level kind of dialogue. Here's another thing. Next level language declares victory. It's a vocabulary of victory. He says, let's take possession of the land. We can certainly do it. Later on, he says, you know, the other 10 said, we're going to get swallowed up. Caleb says, we will swallow them up. He's got a different spirit on him. He's got something different in him, right? He's like, you think you can swallow me up? I'll swallow you up. That's trash talk. He's going for it, right? But that's the language of victory. That's the next level language, is a declaration of victory. A prophesying about what God will do and declaring the end in advance, right? Man, God's with us. We're going to do this. We're going to take this land. We've got this, right? Let's not do maybes. Let's not do ifs. Let's declare, let's use a verbiage that declares the goodness of God. Let's use a verbiage that declares the victory that we have in Christ, right? We are more than conquerors, the Bible says, in Christ Jesus. Will you win in life or not? The answer is you absolutely can. The answer is that God is with you and that God's for you. But a lot of times our verbiage is a verbiage of defeat, a verbiage of doubt. But we've got to begin to be bold and let a sound of victory come out of us. Let a cry, a war cry of a victory, let that be the kind of verbiage that comes out of you. And that next promotion, that new business you want to start, the ministry that God's called you to, the books you want to write, the songs you want to write, the family that you want to have, the health you want to be in, right? Declare victory in that, right? They hadn't won these battles yet. Caleb's talking in advance. We know they win in the end, but Caleb is talking in advance saying, we will do this, right? That confidence, that kind of declaration. And sometimes that verbiage can be beat out of us if we're not careful, because either we feel like we've lost in the past, or other people with experience will tell you, oh, hey, don't get too confident. Don't, okay, come on, a little bit of pride. Sounds like a little bit of pride coming out of you, all like you're going to, you know, start a business and be wealthy, or you're going to make a difference and reach lost people, or you're going to start a church. Like, there can be a lot of downplay that can end up happening to second guess where you're at, or to get you to stop having that victory kind of dialogue. But maintain it. That's how we get to the next level. Another thing about next level language is that next level language always affirms God's promises. So if you want to get in alignment, we're talking about your vehicle starts shaking, it's out of alignment. How do we get our dialogue into alignment? We align it to the Word of God, right? I've got to align what I'm talking to what God has said, right? So we read at the beginning of Numbers 13, just even in this passage, it's all throughout the Bible, but it says, send some men to explore the land of Canaan, which I am giving, right? I'm giving to the Israelites. This is your land. I'm giving it to you, right? So you should not talk any other way than in alignment to that word, right? So 10 of them are going rogue on what God has said. God has said, I'm giving it to you. They're going, man, we can't do this. You're contradicting the word, the living word of God that's been spoken, and you're going to get some turbulence when you do that. It's going to start shaking when you do that. You can't accelerate when you do that. If I'm going to accelerate in my life, then I have got to let my words get in alignment with what God's word says, right? And when I start speaking God's word, it accelerates my life. There's a power, there's an anointing, there's a strength on His word. And no matter what I'm facing, no matter what the reality of my situation, no matter the height of the Jericho walls, no matter the height of the people that lived in that place, I have got to align my words and affirm the promises of God. Amen? I'm trying. All right, I'm going to invite the band to come up because I see 4 minutes counting down. Let's land the plane, y'all. Last thing that we got to factor or about next level language is that next level language always factors God into the equation. It always factors God into the equation. Numbers 14:9, we read it earlier, but Caleb is saying, don't rebel against the Lord. Do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will swallow them up. Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them. You know, a lot of times we have fear dialogue that comes out of our mouths because we are factoring our life situations completely in our own abilities. Katie talked about your smart husband, Mike, and his math degree. Numbers and such. Well, if you're gonna do a mathematical equation, right? A lot of times we look at a giant, we look at something, and me plus my skill just does not equal the issue that I'm facing. And so then I decide to retreat. I get in fear. My verbiage starts sabotaging my life. Rather than going, okay, me plus what God has given me plus God, plus God's supernatural, plus God's hand, plus God's word, plus God's promises, plus the presence of God in my life. Okay, now literally the tables turn and nothing is impossible for me. When I include God into my equation, there is nothing that's impossible for me, right? So they're looking at the giants of the land and just going, man, we're in trouble. We ain't got this. But that's because they were mismatching themselves versus their opponent, their strength versus the situation. But Caleb is just a man like them. Yeah, he's going, we got this. Why? Not because he's a trained warrior, but he says, because God's with us. God's promised us this land. We've got this together. And you know what? If you're going to go to the next level in your life, the dream that God's put in you may seem impossible. The thought you've had about where you want to go with your life may seem impossible, but don't freak out. Don't be in fear. God's with you. God's for you, and you will be able to accomplish it. Not in your might or in your power, but by His Spirit, declares the Lord, right? So too often times we limit ourselves by just what we see rather than factoring God into the equation. And if I begin to speak in alignment with God's word with the understanding that I have the God of heaven and earth on my side, then I can walk with a little bit more confidence, that I can take on my life and my situation and my circumstance with a little bit more confidence, because it's not just me going into battle. It's not just me trying to face my situation. God's for me. Who can be against me? God's with me. Have you factored God into your equation? Is He in the equation, or is He the Sunday conversation? Or is every day of your life, when you're going after what God is putting you to do in your passions, in your career, and your family, whatever it is God being factored into the equation? Or are you just attempting to work it all out in your own strength? Because that's where frustration is going to come. That's where doubt and fear and shrinking back or decelerating to lower speeds in life and never really accomplishing that max acceleration that God has for your life is going to happen. Man, if I'm going to take everything that God has for me, then I'm going to get my life in a line. I got to get my vocabulary on track. I got to get some next level language on track. I need to begin to include God into the conversation. Amen. You know God's for you. Do you know that He's with you? Do you know that your life right now is not a surprise to Him? It's not an accident. He's not unfamiliar with your struggle or with your victories. He knows exactly where you are. Right? And He is well able, right, to empower you and me to do everything that God has put in your life. Whether you're young or old or somewhere in between, that has no bearing on God's ability to accomplish the purposes of God in your life. Amen? So go for it. Like Caleb says to the group, come on, we should go up. We should take possession of the land. We can certainly do it. I'm just declaring over your life, you can do it. You can do everything that God has put in your heart to do, because God's with you. God's able. God's for you. He's not against you. Don't shrink back. Don't let off the acceleration. Come on, lean into everything that God has for you. Amen? Come on, if you believe that, give God a hand clap of praise. Come on. Come on. Come on, let's all stand to our feet and close it out here. Father, we thank You. Right now around the room, I just want you to begin to ask God to help change your dialogue. We all know our own situations. Where have you been speaking fear and doubt? Where has your dialogue been derailing you? Where have you allowed that verbiage, maybe towards in your relationships, maybe in your career, maybe to God, maybe to your future, to your health, whatever it is. If you've been speaking doubt, if you've been speaking fear, and you want to begin to shift that dialogue, you need God's help to begin to update your language to that next level kind of faith language, that victory language, in alignment with God's word. I don't want you to just begin to make that shift. Go ahead and lift up your hand just so I can know who I'm praying with right now. You say, hey, need some dialogue shift, need some language changes, right? I'm right here with you. There's things in my life I need to shift. Father, in Jesus' name, I ask that You would begin to empower us, God. We just come against fear. I just bind every spirit of fear and intimidation that would try to mess with Your people from taking the land that You have for them, God. I thank You, Lord, that You're with them, that You're going before them, God. They can certainly do it, God. They can certainly do it with Your help. They can certainly do it with Your strength. And Father God, we just repent of fear dialogue. We repent of doubting You. We repent of not believing that Your hand is with us. And God, we ask that You'd empower us for this journey. God, we ask that You'd strengthen us for this next step and for this next season in Jesus' name. Give us a voice of victory. Give us a dialogue of victory in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. One more time, let's give God a hand clap of praise for that. I want to ask one more question before I hand the mic back over. It's just about you and your relationship with God. If you could just bow your head and kind of close your eyes for a moment of just kind of reflecting, where are you at in your relationship with Him? You know, the Bible says something else about our verbiage and our words. It says that if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead, we will be saved. And that saved means that you're forgiven from all of your sin. Your relationship is put right again with God. And I wonder, have you made that declaration yet? Have you decided to follow Jesus yet? Have you made Him your leader and your Lord and your Savior of your life? Maybe you're brand new to church and you've never yet made a decision to follow Jesus. And this is your moment. I want to give you that opportunity in just a moment. I'm going to have you lift up your hand and I want to pray with you. Or maybe you've been coming to church for a long time or maybe you're new back and you realize, man, you're away from God and you feel disconnected and you just want to make today a day of new beginning, getting your life right with Him once again, coming close to God again. If that's you in the moment, I want you to lift up your hand as well. I want to pray with you a prayer of new beginning. I want this unbelievable, powerful, simple prayer to say, Jesus, you're the leader and the Lord of my life. You get your life set on the right track. If you've wondered and doubted, am I right with God? Where will I go in eternity? There's been doubts, there's been concerns. Don't leave without eradicating all those doubts. When you come to Jesus, He gives you grace. He forgives you of your sin, gets you in right relationship with the Father again. The count of three, I'm just going to ask you to lift your hand. If this is your moment, you want to get your life right with God, I want to pray with you. 1, 2, 3. Lift up your hand. Let me know who I'm praying with. This is your moment this morning. New beginning. Good. Anybody else? Lift it up nice and high so I can see who I'm praying with. Awesome. Don't miss a moment. If this is you today, get your life right with God. He loves you. You can maybe feel Him kind of calling at you, and He loves you. He's stirring you inside. Anybody else, just say, that's you. Lift it up. Let me know who I'm praying with. Awesome. Anybody else? Awesome. Okay, here's what we're going to do. We're all going to pray a prayer together. It's a prayer of faith in Jesus Christ. Those of you who raise your hand, I want you to especially pray with boldness. Then afterward, we're going to give you some instructions. We've got a gift we want to give you. We want to pray with you, help you in these next steps in your relationship with God. It's so important. But church, let's all pray together with those who just raise their hands. Say, Heavenly Father, today I make a decision to follow You with all my heart. Thank You, Jesus, for dying on the cross for my sin and raising from the dead to give me life. You're my leader, You're my Lord, and my friend. In Jesus' name, and everybody says.
Thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you had a powerful experience. We want to take this time to personally help you navigate the next steps in becoming connected. If you made a decision for Christ today, need prayer, or want more information about our church, go to our website, c3sandiego.com. And if you didn't get a chance to give online during service and would like to contribute financially, you can go to c3give.com and click on the giving option that works best for you. We look forward to hearing from you. See you at church.